It's Who Cares Wins on channelradio.co.uk on this wonderful Monday afternoon. Bit of akabilk there, as unfortunately the master has passed to another, probably drier place. So our wishes are with his family, but what a legend. 85 years of age, Jan.
That's a good innings, isn't it?
Yeah, if I can get to that.
Yes.
Without being murdered, perhaps, on the way. I can hear fans, but I've turned them all off, so hopefully it's just my ears got fans going.
There is a slight hum.
There's a hum or something. So welcome. Yes, it's me, Angela Bryce Stevenson, and of course, across the distant...
It feels like the divide.
Yeah, yeah. So, what brings you here for this job, Jan?
I do not know. My name is Jan Mulligan. I am an ergonomist. What am I here doing today?
We're talking about all wonderful things to do with health and well-being. I'm going to be talking a little bit about hugging, my favourite passion.
I'm nervous already.
And there will be a picture posted of me. I hugged Jan and got it on camera, so I will be posting that at some point throughout the show today. And we're also going to be talking more about ergonomics, because Jan, you've also got a few specialist areas to touch on, haven't you?
Yes. Well, as we head into winter, people tend to hunker down in their homes and start hobbies for the winter. Little things like jigsaw puzzles or crafts or cooking like crazy and putting things in the freezer. So we've got some hints and tips as to how to stay healthy while you're doing that.
Yeah, yeah. We're all about health and well-being on here. So remember, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. So remember, we are on the live feed here in the studio. So if you want to use the Twitter feed, that's the easiest one to us to manage. Because, you know, I'm a bear of little brain. So @CaresWins is the handle to use for Who Cares Wins Radio. Or you can send us an email to whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk, because I also have that feed coming in, and I've also managed to get the Facebook page up as well. So technology, I'm surrounded, it's all working. And if you want the dear old phone, the old dog and bone, get on that. Give us a call on
01 303 874 998.
Marvellous. Jan, you have marvellous telephone voice there.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, so how's your week been, Jan? What have you been up to?
It's been good. It's been good. I've been busy work-wise.
Good.
But took a very spur of the moment, took a overnight away.
I haven't had a holiday all year.
And I suddenly thought, I'm going.
Hey.
So went down Eastbourne direction, stayed in the B&B for a couple of nights, actually. And it was really nice. First day poured down, so just had a relaxing day. Second day was the hottest day in November on record, so that was glorious.
That is amazing, because we had Gravesend this week, didn't we?
We did.
Early part of last week.
Yep.
I think, in fact, it might have been my birthday day.
Oh,
you know, sun shines on the righteous and all that.
That's why I left the county, because I knew it was your birthday. I thought, I've got to get out of here.
And so I actually recall, I think it was 23.5 degrees in Gravesend. Not that I was in Gravesend, mm-hmm. but, you know, maybe my vibes were yep. spreading.
Well, I had a lovely blowy walk along Beachy Head.
Blowy walk. we won't go there, Jan. I'm not going to get you to explain that.
I got back in the evening, thought, I'm quite itchy. I don't know why I'm so itchy. Ooh. You know, thought food allergy to begin with. Ooh. And I realised it was windburn. So, glorious day.
Yeah.
You never know what's
going
to happen.
But a good rest.
Good rest.
A bit of respite.
Yes, blowed the cobwebs away.
A rejuvenation of the old cells.
Absolutely.
A bit of fresh air. Blow the cobwebs and all of that away.
Absolutely.
And
it's Halloween cobwebs.
It was Halloween, yes. You see, I'll throw them then. You carry on. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, sometimes we do need that break. I had a great week because, yes, it was my birthday. Thank you very much for my wishes.
21
and,
again.
And, yes. Yeah, of course, Jan. Of course. In fact, maybe 18, really. And
no, I can't let you get away with that one.
What does she mean, listener? How dare she? You've seen photos of me. I'm a little whippersnapper. I dream. And
so, I can't comment.
I had a wonderful day because one of my days, I did quite a few things last week. Some good, precious time with my husband. And on Tuesday, I went up with a friend of mine to Ali Pali. And I haven't been up there for years.
I used to go up there to the
Ali Pali bike show, mm-hmm. motorcycle show. And haven't been there for years, so we ventured off at 6 a.m. in the morning. Unfortunately, it took us 2 hours to get to O2 to park. Just traffic was... I thought it would be quiet because it was half-term week. I was wrong.
You fool.
So, yes, it was a little bit hectic, but we got there eventually. But it's just beautiful. And the views from Ali Pali across mm-hmm. to the city and Canary Wharf, and you can see the Shard. Oh, yeah. It was just... And we had a lovely, clear blue skies. It was a beautiful day. So we were just ambling along because we didn't think we were there in time for these tokens to see this wonderful lady called Amma. If anyone knows and follows her, Amma, she is a humanitarian and a peace activist, and she is, one of her programs is called Embracing the World. And she was going to be at Ali Pali, and so people that follow her would go up. And I didn't know, I knew of her, but I obviously hadn't seen her or experienced any of her particular meditations or any of particular teachings or talks. So I went with my friend and we went up. So we were lucky enough that when we arrived, even though we thought we'd missed this giving out of tokens, because you can have a token, which means you can then have a hug with Amma.
Now, this struck me as strange. That
which bit? Angela going out?
Yeah, can we go back 20 years?
How long you got?
The hugging bit.
Yeah.
Which is something this lady does, isn't it?
It is, yeah. She, let me just read you a little bit of background because I think it's an amazing story, but it's Embracing the World, which is, I'm just trying to find the website there, embracingtheworld.org, if you want to have a look a little bit more about her work and what she does in reaching out to empowering women, disaster relief, all sorts of things that she does. She was born in a coastal village out in India, in Kerala, actually, which I'm visiting next year.
Okay.
So it's interesting how these things come together. And when she was 9 years old, her mother became ill, and Amma was withdrawn from school in order to help with the household tasks and care of her 7 siblings. And she went door to door gathering food scraps from neighbours for her family's cows. She was confronted with intense poverty and suffering that existed in her community. But bless her, she decided that when she encountered these people, she just felt some compassion, and she decided that she wanted to help them. So she would then bring food and clothing from her own home. She was undeterred by the scolding and the punishment she received from her home by doing this, but she just felt that she wanted to give and to embrace these people and comfort them in their sorrow and their suffering.
Right.
And it's really become sort of from there that she's now called Amma, which is for mother.
Okay, so it's not her name.
So that's not her original name, and I would never even possibly have a go
at
pronouncing her original name, so I do apologise there. And so in turn, she now refers to everyone that she meets as her children, and she's just had this, she said, I don't have any particular religion, my religion is just love.
Right.
And just being out there to embrace people. And so very much she's affected by profound suffering that she's witnessed, but according to Hinduism, if anyone knows this particular way of life, the suffering of the individual is due to his or her own karma, the results of actions performed in the past. That's their belief system. And Amma accepted this concept, but she refused to accept it as a justification for inaction.
Okay. So, yes, you may suffer because
but
of what you've done,
but why can't we do something?
Right.
Why can't? And so her sort of, I suppose, drive was that she contemplated that, well, actually, a principle of karma is that why can't you actually do something and ease the pain and suffering.
So there's nothing in the doctrine that says you can't.
You can't. So it just displays what karma is.
Hmm.
And so from that, she's gone on, and it's a huge worldwide community that she does, and just literally goes around. She does talks and on compassion and how we can sort of help the world and come together as this massive community. But part of what she does is that she will come up and do these, what they're called, you queue up for a darshan, which is an embrace from her.
Right.
And there's lots of people that have talked about how it's affected them and think, you know, good things have happened or energy has been released. And so there's sort of this element of healing from her.
So there's a benefit to the recipient of her hug.
Mm, from her.
Are you then supposed to pass it on in any way, or does it happen
naturally? Well,
you know
me, Jan. I like to share.
You do?
So I'm very much about, well, my sort of feelings and excitement of being there. I mean, I did feel that, my God, I can't believe it. I'm here. I've got a token. I'm going to be able to have a hug with this woman who is constantly, she's sitting there, and it is just a constant stream of people. They move along chair by chair until they get to her. And she is just, I mean, she came on at 11 and we did a quiet sort of reflection practice and then a form of meditation. And then she starts, that's it, off, starts with hugs, people queuing, off they go.
And this is
full embrace.
Embrace.
Yeah, we have a real good old cuddle. And so, because I love that. And I didn't get to see my friend and I, because they work through letters and it's all very organised and all very calm, and there's no pushing and shoving and pointy elbows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we, it must have been about 5:30. We got there about 10. So we had a long wait.
10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
to have our hug.
Yeah.
Which, okay, isn't hours long. It's a, you know, a nice embrace. And she utters something in Indian, which I don't understand. But some form of chant or something she sort of picks up from you and then says something, whispers it in your ear. Very deep, very, very deep voice like you, Jan, actually. Yes.
It sounds very a little soothing. Bit like like an audience with the Queen. People can never remember what she said when they come away.
It could be,
so
yeah.
So it's the same sort of thing.
But just this whole presence she has about her, this whole calmness and this joy. I mean, if you see pictures of her, I'll post a picture on our Facebook page later.
She's a smiley lady,
isn't she? She's just
got
this wonderful lady. Yeah, yeah, she's just got this like, oh, you just feel more relaxed and feel more at ease just by seeing that lovely face and that photograph. Which I'm all about, you know, things that can trigger the feel-good factor within you. And so I had this hug and just literally felt quite magical, really, and felt that I wanted to share that with anybody else that I met, whether it be physical contact.
Right.
Because don't worry, Jan, I did not hug people on the tube.
Good.
I felt it. I felt an urge.
Headline, woman, physical contact, tube.
And
eye contact's bad enough.
Maybe I shouldn't go that far yet. So I waited till I got home and then I passed it on to my husband. But there's no formal procedure that you should. There's
okay.
No sort of, you know, when you've had this, you then should be, you know, go forth and multiply or anything like that. It's just, you know, that you want to be there. You want to have that embrace from her and perhaps, you know, receive some of that love and that sort of energy, then you go for it.
And
so,
it's interesting because travelling up to London from time to time, often in the Evening Standard, there are adverts for these sort of shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always been a bit dismissive, a bit sceptical, oh, you know, somebody's making money out of this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah,
but
it can be.
Something that you said, that she was trying to raise money.
Yes.
And she's now diverted it because of a conversation she's had with somebody.
Yes, I was picking up, and we were talking about this earlier off air, listener, and embracing the world is a huge amounts of projects that are initiated in response to the needs of the world's poor. And I'm just going to read it out for you here. More than 25 years ago, the administrators of the local orphanage confessed to Amma that they were out of funds, and they told Amma that before long they'll have no choice but to turn the children out on the street. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, just fait accompli. Amma diverted the money that had been saved to build her ashram, that she was going to, which is her first prayer hall, and she took all that money and used it instead to assume care for the orphans.
Right.
And that's actually how the first Embracing the World was then born. So from there, I mean, she does now have an ashram in India, but it's obviously gone from there, and her headquarters are obviously based in there. But she's a spiritual and humanitarian woman, and just home to 3,000 people. There's thousands and thousands of people that visit her in India, but then she obviously, you know, goes around the globe embracing people. But also she does talks, so she does sort of does some education. But she's
so
also
my skeptical hat
of the projects.
My skeptical hat has slipped a bit.
Good.
On the basis that there's obviously there's proof of good
works. It's not just about money in the background. Where does it go and what happens to it? There's I mean, she holds free. And the other thing I didn't mention to you, listener, is all of this event is free.
Well, that's even more. I hadn't appreciated
we
that. I thought you'd pay to go.
No,
right.
No, just my own travel, petrol. And then obviously things I wanted to buy.
And she bought.
So there were stands or stalls of,
right,
if you wanted to buy scarves, or if you wanted to buy pieces, you know, particular different, what do you call them? Bits of
jewellery.
Jewellery, that's the word. That's
the word.
I'm pointing at my fingers, listener, going, these things.
No, you're waving your hands.
And also if you wanted, you know, people have Buddhas, all the different things. But
and are these separate stall holders or is this part of the umbrella?
Well, they're separate tables, but it's all to the funds of
so it's fundraising
Embracing
for
the
her.
World projects.
Okay.
So you are funding and helping contribute towards that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can buy as much or as little. There's no sort of, like, when you come in, you know, like, here's a donation box, put your money in. Police have just turned up, come to get you, Jan. Quick hide. And so,
I keep my back to them, I can't see them, they can't see me.
Yeah. I'll say, it's not her, really. So yes, it's up to you what you buy, but you know that there's an element of what you're purchasing. I haven't read all the whole book yet because I've been so busy. whether it all goes into the projects, but obviously yes, you are contributing towards it, which was lovely. So yes, I did buy
a lovely scarf that you were wearing earlier.
A lovely scarf, and I bought another wall hanging as well to put in my. We're going to have it framed actually, but hand painted. Wall hanging. So yeah, I had a great day. But also interestingly for the listeners is that sometimes you think, my goodness, you know, going up to London, 6 a.m. start, driving up 2 hours, park, get the tube, then get there, and then you wait until from sort of 11 o'clock through till 5. But because we did a walking around, we did a bit of the stalls, we then had some lunch and we sat down, we enjoyed lunch, vegetarian of course, and then They are walking around with these boards offering, asking for volunteers to maybe chop vegetables for some of the food stall, or help with, one of those, a juicing stall. So, you know, doing the apple and doing the juicing. And also a bit later on in the day, also helping with washing up. So my friend Lindsay, bless her, she said, oh, come on, let's do some karmic yoga.
What's karmic yoga when it's at home?
Karmic yoga is, let's go and volunteer. So we volunteered to do the washing up. We went downstairs to downstairs in Ali Pali. I've never been down there.
Good to explore.
Yeah, it was great. All in all these little doorways, and it's like Alice in Wonderland. and it wasn't actually washing up, it was drying up because they had the dishwashers and the rinsers going. But it was actually amazing to see this whole like production line going on of volunteers. And again, everyone's just, it's just so relaxed. There's no hustle and bustle and, you know, all stress because I've got, you know, I've got to get up there for my hug, and it all just happens and it's all, you know, flows and it's wonderful. I think I'm now a converted hippie. So I came home and obviously my husband was thinking, oh, she's been out all day. She'll be really, really tired and really, really like, oh, everything's taking so long. You've had to wait. And he said, I was pleasantly surprised when you came home. So I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you just came home with this different air about you. He said, and you didn't have a go at me for doing something that I think you shouldn't have done, really.
Yeah,
he'd been a bit naughty, but anyway, not in a really bad way, but he'd moved things that maybe he should have waited for me to help him.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But he was, you know, typical man.
Enthusiastic.
So I'm going to do it and prove that I can. He's suffering now, but anyway, we'll talk about that at some other point. So it was a great day, of sort of energy and just a feel good factor.
Because as you say, just a day of work, a day of enjoyment, being out and about, coming home, there's an element of tiredness, maybe a little bit snippy for a bit.
Yeah, you can.
And he didn't recognise that at all.
Nothing at all. And he said, for, you know, being up so early and driving, which I don't do every day now. So, yeah. It was, you know, it was very interesting and very interesting for him, because whether or not my hug virtually had gone to him and my sort of my powers, maybe I should be on another show. And so I came home and he actually had a change of heart and a few things he'd decided, oh, I'm going to do this now. And so, you know, strange things have changed. So whether there was this, you know, karma and things going on, who knows? But it was a really enjoyable day. And yes, I didn't mention that at the front, but it was free to attend.
Well, that's incredible because, I mean,
I don't know how she does it, but maybe
because you've got to hire the venue.
Yeah, Ali Pali's not going to be cheap, is it?
Pay some staff, even though you've got volunteers helping out.
Yes, they need. Yeah.
So presumably there's still enough that either people make donations or the markup on certain goods. But then if you want it, you don't mind, do you? Because it's all going back into the cause.
But that's what got me thinking, and that's why I tweeted about hugging. Because as you know, Jan, I do like a bit of a hug. Or a hug.
Oh, she does.
And I was intrigued, and I put it out on Twitter, and if people are listening to this, either listen back later or later in the week, I would still be intrigued. So it's not just about today. I am intrigued to hear your thoughts, feedback on hugs, and whether you like them, whether you don't like them, what sort of style of hug you have, because I'm intrigued. People, you know, do you have big bear hugs? Do you have a sort of a very French sort of hello hug, and then that's it? So, I mean, there's all sorts of hugs you can have. I think maybe I should, you know, start a whole new trend, really. And so I'm going to play a bit of music now because I'm rabbiting already. It's 20 past 12 already, Jan, do you know that? We want to talk about hugs in more depth because actually, all joking aside, you may laugh at me, Jan.
But occasionally.
I know you do, yes. But I thought for our listeners about health and well-being, there is this link with this, you know, hugging is a good medicine. And we now have not only music therapy, we have laughter therapy, but they're now looking at the whole concept of hugging and the concept of touch and the power of touch.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's another talk there coming out of my head.
Okay.
So I thought, what a good topic for today's show.
Well, see, I get my laughter therapy just by joining you on a Monday. It's brilliant. Sets me up for the week.
I'm glad I have my uses, Jan. So, yes, if you want to let us know about your hugs or your styles of hugs or whether you like hugs or whether you're a bit reserved about hugging. And I'm not talking about just standing and hugging strangers in the street.
No, we're not encouraging that.
No, I'm not.
And there's also, within the workplace, there's the sexual harassment side of things as well.
We don't want to go there. Employment law issues, et cetera. So, no.
Some of you may be a little bit more like me, a little bit reserved, not so tactile as Angela is. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's part of the debate.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to really sort of stir this all up and just get this whole debate and this conversation going. So if you want to give us a call, remember the number is 01303 874998 or, again, on the Twitter, at CaresWins, or even on the email, whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk. In the meantime, I think it's only appropriate we have another tribute to Akabilk. And, of course, this is the one and only, the famous Stranger on the Shore.
So relaxing, so beautiful.
Wonderful, yes. You're listening to Who Cares Wins show on channelradio.co.uk, and that was wonderful. Stranger on the Shore, Akabilk, who sadly passed away at the weekend. Thoughts and with his family, of course, but it's just a legend. And in my dad's era, but obviously my era of growing up, our family were very, very musical. I'm surrounded by music as I was growing up.
Two blasts from my past today is yourself visiting Ali Pali, which my mother took me to because it was her old stamping ground when she was a misbehaving youth.
Surely not.
And like you, in the house. Akabilk was being played on the record player.
It's the record, those big black things that you had to put a needle on, listener. Did you ever have those? Probably got some listeners out there going, what is she
what
on?
What is she on about?
And there's some listeners going, yes, Angela, I know exactly. I've still got one. I've kept my records. I'm sure they're still going to be worth lots of money when I die and people need to pay my debts off. Anyway, moving on, just to briefly, if anyone is interested in learning more about Amma, the best place to go and look would be her website, which is, I just had it here.
On the card.
Amma, A-M-M-A .org, I believe. I've just put the piece of paper down. Look, see, man. I've lost it, Jan. Yes, no. Let me just double check. Yes, Amma, A-M-M-A .org.uk. And then you'll find all the other links to Embracing the World and the projects and what she's involved in around the globe, etc. So have a look. Or even if you're interested in seeing her next time she's over. Or maybe, I think she's in Dublin at the moment. So she just moves
around. Back page of that mentions Glastonbury. Is that where she's going or is that...
That is something,
else. Something
completely different. Oh, it's okay. Actually advertising a vegetarian bed and breakfast and workshop venue.
Yes. Okay.
So there you are. If you want to know that, I'll tell you that later. Okay, moving on to the science now. Da-da-da, let's get serious, Jan. Angela, serious? Never.
Doesn't
the benefits
happen.
Of hugging. Because there is actually a whole host, if you look on the internet, there's lots of stuff about just, yeah, let's hug everyone. There is actually a movement out there about we should be just hugging everyone every day. But that goes into the whole concept of, hang on a minute, you're starting to hug strangers.
Mm-hmm.
That can cause actually stress in people.
It does, it
and
can.
And then that can release various hormones, i.e. one of them being cortisol, which is very bad. We don't like that one. That's the naughty hormone. We don't want that one.
Okay, that's one that obviously gets triggered in me.
Yes, yeah. So it's very much about, you know, if we're going to look at hugs, and what we're talking about this afternoon is I'm talking about people that you know, that you're friendly with, that you know, the you know, it's always charity
with.
Starts at home. So let's start with that. So yes, hugging, I say, is a good medicine. So my phrase now is going to be a hug a day keeps the doctor away.
Unless you hug a doctor.
Well, it depends what your doctor looks like, I suppose. Hey, if
we're
you're out
veering again.
Let me know. But it does. It transfers energy because do you know that when you give a hug, it does give you an emotional lift. Albeit there might be the initial reaction, Jan, when I hugged you this morning, of, oh, my God, what's she doing? But there is some research out there. Now, I haven't actually found where the research...
Well, just while you're looking for
Oh, there it is. I found it.
I can appreciate that there should be a lift. But some of us don't get it, and so some of us do get a negative thing from it. And whilst I accept that in society people hug, and that networking was a real freak out moment for me when I started networking, because complete strangers do like to say hello and give you a hug.
Yeah, I do.
And so that took some adjustment. But some of us don't get the positive thing from it.
I'm intrigued why, though. We need to maybe that's maybe
so maybe that's another science.
I need to go to be
researched. So I'm not discouraging people from hugging, but just want to say that some recipients of hugs may not be as willing and able. And
sort of rapport. You've got to actually, it's not, please don't be a bulldozer and just start going out, you know, right, I've been listening to Who Cares Wins and sounds a great idea, I'm going to do that. Start hugging everybody in your family even, because you've got to be wary of their personal space. You've got to be wary of, is it the right time? It's like everything.
Absolutely.
It's that a good old laugh is great for us, and a good old laugh will release a whole load of wonderful endorphins in us. But it's also about, it's relevant that if I'm standing at someone's funeral and actually seeing them lowered, you know, either at the crematorium or they're going in the ground, it's probably not great to just at that point start laughing.
No.
So it's got to be,
appropriate to the moment. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I do ingest.
Yeah,
jokes.
Absolutely.
But this actually came up.
So tell me why I should be appreciating.
One of the things that came up was apparently we need 4 hugs a day for survival.
Okay.
8 for maintenance.
Right.
And 12 for growth. And that was actually from a talk by Virginia Satir, who is a respected family therapist, but of course in the States. So some of this.
So if you're not getting your 4 a day for survival,
careful about and research a bit more.
What's that saying? If you don't get your 4 a day.
Well, I think it's going back to the whole scientific evidence about hugging is a form of communication at the end of the day.
Okay.
And if you go back, it's about a lot of hugs can say things that actually you just cannot find words for often. And if you think about generally, and obviously we can only ever talk about the generalisms, is that if somebody is, and if we're talking about Amma, if you see somebody who is suffering, and you can label that to mean anything from your world, if you're listening in, that whatever that form of suffering is, there may be that tiny pull of, just if I could put my hand on the shoulder, mm-hmm. you know, a form of a hug, a form of touch. There's this element of compassion in all of us that actually wants to make them feel better. So whether there's something from that this speaker, Virginia Satir, has then evolved into, you know, we need 4 hugs a day to keep this survival instinct of
ticking
feeling
over.
Loved and valued and cared and appreciated. But the nice thing about a hug is that you it's not just a one-way thing, you see. Because even though you weren't thinking that you were hugging me, Jan, I did get something back. So it's a two-way process.
The photo, I don't know if you posted that photo.
No, not yet. I will do. Panic not.
There's definitely a hugger and a huggy, but the huggy was sort of ramrod of, oh my God, she's hugging me now. Try and look relaxed.
I mean, there is something, I don't want to go into this in too much depth, but there was, if anyone remembers this, and if, again, if you look on the internet, you'll find it. But the Harlow studies, which unfortunately were quite cruel experiments, quite unethical as well, involving monkeys. But the outshot was to prove that, you know, we do prefer, even the human elements, we prefer contact, we prefer touch. Because the monkeys preferred, as a mother substitute, they didn't have the mother around.
Okay.
So the monkey babies preferred a cloth doll without milk.
Right.
Rather than the metal doll, which had milk.
So the tactile of the cloth.
So the tactile, the softness, it's moving, it's more like
malleable.
Mother.
Yeah.
Rather than they knew, obviously, detect that this metal thing is not real. It's
just
not,
a container, yeah.
And also there's worldwide evidence. If you think about the whole reams of, I mean, we've had people on the reflexology, massage, that mm-hmm. form of touch, the stimulation of the muscles and everything underneath, and the whole concept with babies when they're born and newborns, and the whole concept of, you know, babies needing to have that hug and be held. Mm-hmm. There is some evidence out there, but I can't actually attribute it to a name, unfortunately, yet. So if you can find out who that is, please let me know. But there's a lot of stuff coming up about children that are hugged and cuddled during early childhood will display fewer stress symptoms, if I could speak, than those that have been hugged less.
Okay.
But I'm intrigued to find out, because I was desperately trying in the week to see, well, who is that, who's the person, but I couldn't find it, listener, so I do apologise there. But it is intriguing to find out, because there's obviously, I know of people that their childhood's been quite traumatic. And now it's like, I wonder if, you know, the whole stress in the environment they're in now, is that as a result of? Is there, you know, something? Because if you go deep down to the biological bit, Jan,
okay.
At the end of the day, yes, we do get positive feelings. And the whole reason we get that is because that when we're hugged, there is a hormone that is released when we're touched. Okay. Do you know what that is, Jan?
No.
Start of 10? There's a quiz? What's your buzzer?
No, my brain's frozen because you're talking about hugging. You're going to have to do all the science.
I will be quiet in a minute, I promise, Jan. But it does release the hormone, which is oxytocin.
Okay.
And oxytocin elevates our feelings to do with attachment, connection, trust and intimacy. So when we're hugged, our heart rate, our blood pressure and our level of cortisol, if we are stressed, all lowers as a result of the oxytocin. So there is an element that in my head that says, so even if you hug yourself, surely this is the theory of cut of touch. No, stop it, Jen. It's that, there's this, well, actually, if you think about body language, which I'm quite passionate about, and people talk about the art of communication and the whole body language and the pie chart comes out and everyone falls asleep. But actually, if we think about if we're threatened, if we feel a little bit dismissive of what someone's talking about, maybe listener, have a check about how you're now seated, whether you're listening to us talking about hugging. If you're with us, what's your body posture like? If you're thinking, what are they talking about? They have lost the plot. This is a load of rubbish. Normally it's a really good show, but today it's gone haywire. And so just be aware of your body language. Are your arms folded? So you're creating a barrier. You're protecting yourself. So this sort of innate human and animal instinct in us is that, well, actually, yes, there's an element of touch there, isn't there?
It's interesting. Are you aware of any research being done for people who have Asperger's or similar conditions?
I didn't see a great amount. I must admit, there was some. There just something came up with Asperger's, but I don't think there's actually been any proper trials and things yet.
There are some people get a physical aversion and panic.
Exactly. They get get me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no.
So obviously, either the wiring or the chemical release is adverse in those circumstances.
Yeah. But there was lots. I mean, if you listen to this, is sort of intrigued about this research and want to look further. The University of Vienna and also Psychology Science are probably the two biggie ones that came up for me. And also Medical University of Vienna. And an article I actually pulled off from their website. Hugging is good for you, but only with someone you know very well.
There you go. Okay.
In 2013, hugging someone can help reduce stress, fear and anxiety, has a lowering effect on blood pressure, promotes well-being and improves memory performance. These positive effects are caused by the secretion of the peptide oxytocin, but only when we are hugged by someone we know very well. Hugging strangers have the opposite effect, as neurophysiologist Jürgen Sandkühler, if I pronounce that name, he's the head of Center for Brain Research at the Medical University of Vienna. He points out that in anticipation of National Hug Day.
Oh, what day is that?
21st of January, next year.
Next year, we've got to put that one in the books.
21st of January 2013, because this is the old article, but I'm sure it will relate. Oxytocin, a hormone produced by the pituitary gland, is primarily known for increasing bonding, social behaviour and closeness between parents, children and couples. Increased oxytocin levels have been found, for example, in partners in functional relationships. In women, it's also produced during childbirth, the process of doing through breastfeeding, in order to increase the mother's bond with the baby.
Now, one thing you said there, that it improves memory.
Who said that?
So I'm wondering if you could find a way, before an exam, to hug a friend.
Yeah.
Is it that kind of instant memory while you're revising, or just before you go and sit
down?
And
have the Baroque music playing as well, because that aids the processing in the brain to remember it.
Okay.
So have a hug, play Baroque, and have, what's the aromatherapy oil? I'll remember it now.
Aids memory.
Yeah, see? I remember. Sorry, Jen.
You're not using enough of it.
So, yes, I'm intrigued because there are benefits. And there's a whole thing. You know the Huffington Post that posts out lots of information.
Yeah.
And it goes, I'll post it, the link on our Facebook page, because there is a title there. It was actually in March this year. It was posted out. 7 reasons why we should be giving more hugs. Making us feel good, lowering blood pressure, alleviating our fears. It's good for our hearts. And it... adults apparently benefit the most. It's a natural stress reliever, and well-hugged babies are less stressed.
Excellent.
And we've had a note on
Facebook.
Where I've just lost it. There it is. And our lovely, lovely famous fan, because she was the one and only, the first one who came through.
Yeah.
Is the lovely Gwen.
Hello, Gwen.
Actually, Gwen's famous now. We should be bowing at this point. Because Gwen is a famous DJ on channelradio.co.uk.
She was with Richard.
And also, she's been on with Jamie's, on the Jamie's Jazz Show as well.
I think we need to have her on this.
I think we could have a rest, Jan. She'd come down.
Gwen, let us know your health and
topic.
Hello,
Gwen. She says, fabulous show today. Ladies, loving the hug element. Very interesting. Gwen, I am sending you a big, huge...
It's called a mental hug.
B-M-H.
Big mental hug.
So yes, hi Gwen. We'll have to get you down here and we can do some real hugging and we can see what the impact is, couldn't we? So yes, I will stop now, Jan, I promise.
No, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Should we have a bit of music?
Let's have a bit of music.
We can have a hug.
Bit of music.
Now this
is... There's a barrier between us, folks. I'm safe at the moment.
Yeah, but this music, I'm going to go around and give her a hug. And I'll take a photo and post it. This music is actually because we want to talk also about your element of ergonomics. And so we have got a choice from you, Jan, haven't we?
We have indeed. It's Play on Words. It's by the band Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk, yes.
And it's so good. The Model.
Yeah. Are they German?
I don't know. I think they are.
Are they? I don't know.
I
the Kraftwerk, that was model. That was, I love
that. I took
that
us
song.
Both
just
back,
took me
didn't
right
it?
Back. Oh my God.
Showing our age today.
I am definitely about 6-year-old now. So yes, folks, you are tuned in to Who Cares Wins on channelradio.co.uk on this marvellous day. It's not miserable, remember? It's only raining. And you are listening to me, Angela Bryce Stevenson, with wonderfully, of course, assisting me along the lines and keeping me in order.
I'm trying my best, folks. It's me, Jan Mulligan.
I've tweeted it. It's gone. The photo is there. The evidence is out now in the social media. I have officially on air hugged Jan, and she looks quite okay about it.
You know when you see those photos of hostages, that silent scream going on behind the eyes.
It's not that bad.
It's a smile, folks. It's honestly, it's a smile.
But just before we move into your ergonomics on arts and crafts and mm-hmm. things like that, just to the one piece that I wanted to mention about why it was good for our heart, which I briefly mentioned there. Embracing someone may warm your heart, but according to one study, a hug can be good medicine. In an experiment at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, participants who didn't have any contact with their partners developed a quickened heart rate of up to 10 beats per minute, compared to the 5 beats per minute among those who got to hug their partners during the experiment.
Okay.
So an element of maybe the stress, mm-hmm. but having the hug took that stress away.
Do the non-huggers see the others hugging, or are they kept separate?
No, I didn't ask them that, Jan.
Well, you know, because yeah. do you feel deprived?
I probably have to go to the University of North Carolina and actually open up the whole research pack, and that would take me an age to read, and I probably, no offence, would fall asleep.
No, I'm afraid that's the scientist in me wants to
that.
Know.
You
the
can do that.
You know, the remit of
okay,
the...
Jan, that's your homework for the week. You can report back next week and make sure that you haven't given the excuse that the dog ate it.
I want the arbor. Oh, we've got a follow from a hey diddle diddle.
Hey diddle diddle, the cat and fill. Off I go.
She's off again.
Right, anyway. Come on, Jan.
Right,
keep
so.
You're not doing your job well, so I'm going to be
running
nailing.
Away here. Okay,
but
well,
yes, hugging, laughter, and also, more importantly, ergonomics.
Ergonomics. They don't really go together. There's probably the ergonomics of hugging. Yes, they're going to be the right way and the wrong way to hug.
Absolutely.
For the best release of the appropriate chemical.
Yes.
But moving swiftly onwards, we're talking now about the winter months. The clock went back. So
yay!
It's going to be darker evenings, and it's the time of year where people start to think, well, what can I do inside the house? Mm. Because you can't go out for the sunny walk quite as frequently as you used to. So people start their hobbies for the winter. You know, it might be that you build boats in glass bottles or that you do jigsaw puzzles.
Yeah.
You might knit or crochet.
Crochet. Oh, I love doing that with my mum.
Weaving on a loom. That's becoming very popular these days, apparently.
It is. Well, knitting, actually, because Kerry Hales.
Oh, yes.
She's a knitter in a knitting club.
Okay. So it's something that a lot of people just do around the house, taking the chair, the table, whatever comes to hand. But depending how involved you get within the hobby, you can then put yourself at risk.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
The obvious thing is people do it for too long at any one time, and then when they go to move, it's kind of the creaking and the aches and the pains.
Backache.
So I want you to step back from your hobby. Think about what the hobby entails. Think about where you do it. Think about other areas of your home where you might be able to do it for short periods of time to give yourself a variety of postures, positions, lighting environments, environmental factors.
Yeah, otherwise we can strain our eyes, can't we?
Absolutely. So you're looking at the chair, obviously, which is the old golden nugget of ergonomics. People think ergonomics, they think chairs and postures. So yes, we do have to think about that. But is that appropriate for the task that you're doing? Does it give you, at the table you're working at, the right height for your arms, for reach, and that sort of thing? So you're looking at trying to achieve the sort of the 90 degrees of arm posture.
Yeah.
Now, there'll be ergonomists out there screaming at me saying, 90 degrees, that's been debunked, that's old school. And it may well be in some circumstances, but it's a very good starting point to see how comfortable you can get, and then you adjust from that position to meet your needs. But if you find you're working at a table where your hands are significantly higher than your elbows, you're going to become fatigued more quickly than if your hands are level with your elbows.
Well, yeah, because your arm, you're in the element of my exercise background and studies is that you're not actually relaxed.
No.
You're in contraction. Your muscles are actually working.
Yeah,
aren't they?
And if your forearms are pressing against the desk edge, then you do run the risk that you're trapping the nerves that run through your arms, and therefore you're breaking the signals, breaking the communication, and that might lead to either local or referred discomfort. Now, some of you out there are saying, oh, hang on a minute, knitting. My hands are always above my elbows for knitting. Mm. But the point of knitting is it's quite an active task. So you're not sat there stock still in tension. You're moving around, you're changing your finger position, you're wrapping the wool around the needle to go backwards and forwards. You're having to move the skein of wool because it rolls onto the floor and pick it up occasionally, all that sort of thing.
That always happens to me. And then my dog goes, playtime. And then that's the end of that wool.
Yeah. And you're going backwards and forwards. So the different hands are doing different tasks across that period. So it's a good exercise, a good hobby to have. Mm. What tends to happen with people who knit is it's the hips, the knees and the feet that cause them grief when they go to get up afterwards because they've sat there for too long doing the task. And if your heating and ventilation aren't right in the room, you may get cold hands, you may get cold shoulders. Mm. So the old school image of granny with the shawl around the shoulders and the rug across the knees doing the knitting, possibly with fingerless gloves on to keep the hands warm.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's an old image that we have. And
you've
it
seen
might
my
be
house, haven't you, Jen?
But that was done for a reason. It's because you've sat there for quite a long time, getting still, and bits of the body say, you're not using me, I'll shut down. I won't be used.
Exactly, because they think, oh, well, I don't need that. Yeah. Just interestingly, Jan, I looked up Hey Diddle Diddle.
Oh, good.
Because I was intrigued. And actually, if anyone wants to follow them, because it looks fantastic, it is a critically acclaimed feature film centering around a person with social anxiety disorder.
Ah.
So very appropriate for mental
health.
Probably
not a hugger.
Probably not. Might not be. So if you wanted to know more, it's New York, you see? We've got listeners all around the globe.
We're international.
And it's called whereismadmax.com. I love that. I have to investigate
it's
that.
It's not later. In the studio, honest.
No. I liked him. Anyway, I digress. So I need to make sure that, people are moving.
Moving around or suitably covered and warm for the circumstances.
Keep those muscles warm.
We touched on lighting. You want adequate lighting to do the task, but not so much lighting that you get glare and therefore you adjust your posture to see around the light.
Because otherwise
quite
you
often,
squint, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. And also any heat produced by the lamp is not so hot that, again, you start to adjust your posture away
because
from it.
Because of it, yeah. And you do it unconsciously. There's people that we're not mindful. Mindful knitting.
Mm-hmm.
Mindful crochet.
Yeah. Now, I came across a site. It was an American site, so I haven't as yet found a UK equivalent.
No, I struggled with
but
some of the sites.
If you do knitting or if you do crochet, they now apparently have illuminated crochet hooks and knitting needles. So that provides you with a bit of targeted illumination around the task that you're doing.
May the force be with you.
There we go. And the other thing to think about is if you have small tools, can you add some form of padding around the grip make the grip more relaxed?
They did that for my husband, not his knitting needles. They did it when
he
came out.
I didn't know he
knitted. Because I mentioned the brachial plexus issue he had when we had Herb's palsy on, in that they gave him these foam things to put on his spoons so that he could hold the spoon or the... No.
Because the larger the grip of the physical device, the less hard the hand has to work to hold on to it, and therefore the hand is more relaxed. Obviously, too big, you don't get any form of grip and purchase on it.
No.
So there's going to be a balance in between. But it's the same with writing. Mm. At the event we're going to on Wednesday, on the table, I shall have a selection of writing aids to show different grips, and that can be important for people. If you get writer's cramp, chances are you've been holding on too tightly.
Yeah, and your pen could be too thin.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah.
So thicker barrel, change of shape, change of...
That's why I use those big felt tips, Jan.
And hold it with your fist. Have you seen her signature, folks? And then we're thinking about if you're bending over your task too much, so you might get neck, shoulder, backache. So where possible, have the task directly in front of you with your head as upright as possible.
Mm.
Obviously, if you're doing crafts, if you're doing intricate details, you'll often see guys that paint, I'm saying guys because it's normally what you see on the television, the model figurines.
Oh, the Airfix
or little
scenes.
Iron soldiers, and they play war games with them. They normally have the magnifying glass.
Yes.
The little figurine might
be
held.
Big eye. Often have a big eye, don't
absolutely.
They?
Figurine might be held in the hand or might be on a platform.
Yeah.
And then with a very thin paintbrush. But it's at eye level
rather than
so that
bend.
They're not dipping over.
Yeah. And it's sometimes, again, it always goes back to all these conversations about health and well-being. It's always very much about if people are listening to the show, they're, oh, actually, yeah, that's quite simple, isn't it? And it is often. You don't make it too complex and think about, just look, step back and look at it. And actually, yeah, I am bent over. If I just was to raise that up with a cushion, then maybe it would make life a bit easier. But if I can look at maybe buying something that would do the job perfectly, then I can investigate that too.
And if you're listening in and if you have a hobby and you're thinking, how can I make that more comfortable? I've got this ankle pain, or I want to prevent something from happening, got a bit of vision problems. I'm very happy to hear from you. If you think this, surely this could be done in a more easily, more effective way.
And we'd love to share that as
well.
We
can share that out.
We'll
give a shout out. We don't have to name you if you'd rather stay private. But if you got any question on ergonomics that you think you want an answer to.
Or a hint and tip. If you are finding that you'd actually something you've made at home yourself.
You can share with
maybe
others.
Maybe now want to sell.
Yes, absolutely.
Let us know.
So let us know. Who Cares Wins. Twitter handle Cares Wins. Who Cares Wins Radio. .co.uk.
Yes,
the website. You can find all our contact details on there.
Yep, we'll put it on there.
If you want to come direct, it's Jan Mulligan, my consultant, is Greenleaf Ergonomics. But try the Who Cares Wins, because then we can share.
Your website.
This is .co.uk.
But the other thing I wanted to just add to that, Jan, is as much as we're going into the winter months and people necessarily like, oh, I don't, my mum said the other day, I don't like these dark nights. Don't like it, that we don't have much daylight now. But actually, if you can, at least, if you can work your day around it, even if you're working and an employer, then make an effort, at least, if you are, like I used to commute in the dark, up in the morning, come home in the evening, so I wouldn't see daylight, unless I made the effort to go out at lunchtime.
Absolutely.
So even if you go out for 5 minutes, just go out, walk around the block, buy a coffee, come back, or walk out, come back, don't even have to buy anything, keep it cheap, but just getting out to get those few minutes of air change, and the actual movement, and also for you looking, your eyesight, you know, being able to focus on distant objects and different and moving objects. It's just a whole different thing that your body is then being aware about. And even if it's pouring with rain, like today, you can have fun.
You
put your wellies on.
Go jump in a puddle.
Go jump in a puddle.
But also, this time of year for some people is quite depressing. So seasonal affective disorder is something that is becoming more known about.
It is.
Whether it's more prevalent or not is debatable. So in a future show, we'll talk about different types of lighting, but also the daylight lighting and the SAD lighting that's available.
There's different lighting. Because I was saying that they should have that. Now, where did I say that? Oh, we should have SAD lighting on the tubes.
Yes, it's unfortunate that's the acronym, SAD.
I know.
But it's seasonal affective disorder, and it means that you suffer from a lack of natural light, natural daylight, and therefore
you get depressed.
And it
doesn't, remember, doesn't have to be about, oh, because there isn't any sun.
No.
So I have to, my dad, bless him, has passed away, but I encourage him to just go out every day, even like today. It's pouring with rain, it's grey, you can't see the sun, but it is still light out there.
Yes.
So going out
and
getting that
more
light,
oxygen outside as well.
Yeah. Is, you know, could be, it could help you a little bit. Or moving your furniture around so that you can sit nearer the window or something.
Absolutely.
That gives you that flexibility, that ability to have the rays coming through. Now, before we disappear for another week, we've got a few events that we need to make sure that we shout about.
November's quite busy. So first off, November
the biggie,
is the month.
The biggie. Remember, the 5th of November.
The 5th of November. It's National Stress Awareness Day.
It is.
And to stop ourselves getting stressed, we're going to spend a whole day at the Kent CIPD branch Being Well Matters Symposium.
And it does. It does. Being well does matter. I'm talking about music, power of music. I'm also talking about mindfulness, and we're having some experiential activities.
Oh, wow.
Jan, you're talking about...
I'm reducing stress that people with disabilities can experience when the world around them has not been considered for their needs.
Yeah.
So it's predominantly workplace, but everything can be extrapolated out to the
world. And there's some great other activities. If you remember, we had the ladies from the CIPD Kent branch. We had Melanie and...
a couple of weeks ago. Elaine.
Elaine, thank you. God, see, memory's going. I need a hug, Jan.
No, I'll give you some zinc instead.
So, yes, there's all the details are on the homepage of whocareswinsradio.co.uk. If you haven't got your ticket, it might still be a few left.
Absolutely. Now, some quick roundups around the country. On November the 12th, the Science of Laughter. This is a free event.
So
along
laughter.
The hugs, long laughter.
It's all out there.
Open to the public. It's the Innovation Centre in University of Exeter. So we're not just in Kent. We do travel around the country, and we'll let you know what's out there.
New York.
This is being run by the British Psychological Society.
BPS, yeah.
BPS. So if you search www.bps.org.uk/events, this event and a whole host of others all around the UK are listed. Now, an awful lot of them are free of charge and an awful lot of them are open to the public. Mm-hmm. November 13th, going to tout my own trumpet, whatever the word phrase is. The East Kent Women in Business have kindly invited me along to give a talk. It's West Faversham Community Centre, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and the topic is, why is a kettle not a saucepan? Mm. If that's not intriguing enough, come along and find out
more. You must go. It's a shame I can't be there. I've got a coaching client, but I'll be there in spirit with you, Jan.
Excellent. Mm. Excellent. And November as a month is Movember.
Movember.
Men, some women
start
of a certain
growing.
Age, yep. Growing moustaches.
Why are you looking at me, Jan?
I'm not. It's for prostate cancer.
Yep.
So search
start
out
growing your,
prostate.
They grow an N, don't they, in the shape with their beard and
they
their tash, and it's an N.
Raise money and awareness for prostate cancer.
Brilliant. We have run out of time, folks. I'm so sorry that we're going to have to go. And if you want to still be in touch with us about the hugs, about the ergonomic help, hints and tips, remember, we're on Twitter all the time, at CaresWins, or on our Facebook page. You can post comments, thoughts, questions, queries.
As Gwen did today. Thank you, Gwen.
So thanks, Gwen. Stay well, and we'll get you down the studio for a hug.
We will.
Enjoy. We're going to have three steps to heaven. Shiwadi wadi. I love this. Have a great week, everyone.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Now then, our three steps to heaven. Just listen, and you will plainly see
some form of chant or